and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. With me, Robin, Martin. Hello, Martin.
Oh, bonjour.
Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. Very French. That's sounding perfect.
Literally the extent of it, I'm afraid.
Well, it works for me. Yeah. And those lovely tones you can hear belong to Chris from 101 Facts.
I have three nipples.
He also has Tourette's. So
that is true, though.
That is true.
It's a good segue for... good segue for being able to say that.
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for the setup. It was great.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I definitely meant it.
How are you today, Chris?
I like tits. I'm good, thanks.
Good.
Going to be on it today.
Going to be on it today. The observant among you, our returning listeners or viewers, will notice that Alex Brown is not here with us. He is in the Bermuda Triangle, fishing for treasure in Atlantis.
Yes.
We may
or
see
is he
him
finding
again.
The crystal pyramid at the bottom of the Bermuda Triangle?
Well, I mean, if we're lucky... Yeah.
No.
Although he forgot to take the camera with him, so.
Yeah. I mean, his phone is quite good.
That's true, actually.
Yeah, it's got a good, decent quality camera.
But can it handle the depth?
That's the question.
I think it's water resistant to 100 meters, so he can do it.
100 meters. I mean, that's more than three, so.
Yeah, there you go. So, Martin, you'll have a news topic for us today about something religious, is that right?
Yes, it is. It is about the Messiah complex, about people thinking they're Jesus.
Oh.
And what kind of impact that's had, and historical examples of it too.
That's really interesting. Mm. And Chris, you've brought an interesting
topic. I like talking about Bridget Jones's Diary.
Don't we all?
I was really trying.
You did a great job.
So you can see me twitching if you watch what I mean. I've brought in kind of a more funny article about that's happened recently about a boy who went blind after eating.
So dark.
A funny article. No, sorry, carry on.
Yeah.
Went blind after eating
chips for 10
years. Oh, wow.
Like just
okay.
chips and sausages That's for 10 weird. Years. Oh. So, okay, it's not like the Messiah. Yeah. But it's funnier because it's silly.
Yeah, that is extreme, isn't it?
And yeah.
Of course, as always, we'll be looking at our favorite YouTube comments of the week, and we'll have a weekly quiz at the end of the episode, which I'll be hosting.
Oh.
Let's see if Chris or Martin is the brain box.
Martin!
But
Chris! Because I've lost every single one.
But before we do all that, we want to welcome our new Patreon supporters from August.
August,
yes,
it
we're
is.
In September now, so...
Yeah. So we have so many new patrons, actually. We're really, really pleased to invite them on board to our Patreon, where, of course, there are plenty of rewards, don't we?
Like, yeah.
Like free podcast episodes, extra podcast episodes. That you
and Viagra.
And Viagra.
We don't give Viagra, but maybe one day we will.
Be careful of your heart.
Yeah,
you
so who shall we welcome this month, Martin?
So yeah, we've had loads of new patrons this month. So we're really, really thankful to all of you guys who've been joining us for our exclusive podcast episodes and shout outs and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So I have a list of people to thank. So the first up is Dev800. And Lucy Pearman and Stefan. Exactly.
Stefan.
Samantha Howard, Daniel Abrey Stockwell, Yannick Finger, great name.
Great.
Sean, ZM, Denton Peasley, Snowblower, Cat Hales, Shelley Floyd, Lisa, Paul MC, or Paul Mook, a little older, Courtney Don't, D-O-H-N-T, Don't, Griffin Talent, Amber, Bobby Coates, and Abby Weaver.
God, that's loads
thank
of people.
You so
and
much.
My mum's
guys.
Sloppy.
So thank you to all of those people who've kindly supported us.
Thank you so much.
I'm so sorry.
So thank you to all of you who supported us in August. We really, really appreciate it. And we hope that you enjoy the content we've got coming up.
Yes, thank you all for joining us and welcome to the club. We shall, well, see you in the Patreon exclusive podcast, which
Absolutely.
We'll be recording straight after this.
You've
one.
Been speckled off!
And you've been speckled off, so enjoy.
In the meantime, Martin, what was your story again? Let's go into that.
Yes, so I'm going to be talking about the Messiah complex. So people believing that they're Jesus. But I thought it'd be an interesting topic to look into and just see what you guys think.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the definition of a Messiah complex is a delusional mental condition in which a person believes that he or she is the true Messiah, or more generally, a belief held by any person that he or she is supremely powerful and capable of anything.
Okay, so that's interesting, that second part of the definition. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's so because obviously you think Messiah complex, therefore everyone thinks they're Jesus, but it's just like you think you're superpowered kind
yes,
of.
Yes, exactly. And not to be confused with God complex, which is people who think that they have a massive ego, basically, and think that they're better than others. Although the symptoms are kind of similar.
Yeah.
So this is similar to delusions of grandeur. A lot of the things kind of cross over. And delusions of grandeur are a psychiatric disorder where people believe they're infinitely more powerful, wealthy, or famous than they are actually in real life.
Right.
So this is basically a really, really extreme version of this. So some people with these delusions of grandeur can be suffering from other disorders such as schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, or alternatively can have a history of substance abuse quite often. There can be a few kind of things that lead to this. Although it's said that about 10% of quote-unquote healthy people actually have thoughts of grandeur but aren't in this delusional state.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. Do you have any illusions of grandeur, Robin?
Oh, well, certainly. Do you, Chris?
A big penis.
Delusions of grandeur. So some individuals have actually been accused of claiming to be the Messiah, not genuinely, but actually believing it themselves, but in order to gain material wealth, status, power, sex sometimes.
Just think, because normally when I think of this kind of thing, I'm sure I'm not alone in this, we think about charlatans, con people, usually like cult leaders.
Exactly, people that create sects. Yeah, sects with a C and a T there. But I think often the lines between the two can be blurred as well. It's like you don't necessarily know if someone actually believes they're the Messiah or whether they're just doing it for wealth and power because they can convince themselves based on those preconceived ideas. And then what comes of it is wealth and power and the rest of it.
Interesting, isn't
it? So more recently, there have been examples where people have believed that they're Jesus, but it's been pretty obvious that they're actually in a psychotic state.
Okay.
So there was the example of Morris Clemens, who murdered 4 police officers in Washington State while claiming to be Jesus. That was in 2009, I think.
Yeah.
And likewise, Oscar Romero Ortega Hernandez, who in November 2011 fired rifle shots at the White House, claiming that he was the Messiah and he was trying to take down the Antichrist Obama. So these people obviously have... proper issues.
And I guess there's an obvious tell there in that they're claiming to be specifically Jesus, not just a Messiah, but Jesus.
Reincarnate.
It's if I went down the street claiming I was James Bond, they wouldn't be like, you got a problem, mate.
Mm.
But if I went down the street saying I was a super spy, you'd be like, is he?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of pigeonhole yourself if you're claiming to be the Messiah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There are examples of these self-proclaimed messiahs that have managed to amass hundreds and if not thousands of followers over the years of people who are actually willing to believe that they are Jesus or the Messiah. And there's numerous examples. And so I want to just talk...
Vector graphics!
And so I just want to talk a little bit about one of the first recorded cases of this messiah complex leading to a congregation forming around them.
Yeah.
And this is of Kondraty Selivanov. Heard of him?
No.
So he was a Russian peasant who founded the Skoptsy movement in Russia in the 1760s.
Right. Oh. Yeah.
And this movement is pretty disturbing. It's a movement that advocated castration in order to stop people having sexual desires and lust. So they believed that was ungodly.
Yeah.
And so they went about advocating castration as a result.
Brief question on the side. Would that work?
What, in terms of...
Would castration remove your lust?
No.
Apparently, according to them, it does.
According to the person or the followers?
According to that philosophy. At the very least,
you got to tell yourself that every day. Otherwise.
I mean, having said that, you look at more recent history, you look at Turing, who was chemically castrated.
Yes.
And obviously they believed at that point that would reduce your...
Yeah, your sexual desire.
There was at least some kind of basis for them to do that. Mm. Of course, that was horrendous, and this is too. But there must be some kind of evidence. I mean, surely with males, that reduces the testosterone levels at the very least.
I suppose, that might. I don't know. It sounds like it might reduce your libido a little bit, but not actually.
Not enough to.
Yeah, because
I feel like it's...
Wouldn't it call more frustration then?
Well, I don't know, but dogs have had the...
geldings. Is that what they call it? Or is that horses?
Dogs who are castrated. Not always. Yeah. But often afterwards, they kind of chill out. They calm down a little bit, right?
Mm. That's true.
There's no more lipstick.
Actually, it's not always true either.
No,
my first dog, still the lipstick regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was still excited. So yeah, not always the case, but I will carry on. So Selivanov started his own sect in the village of Sosnovka near Moshansk, styling himself as the Son of God and Redeemer. So pretty powerful.
Full on Messiah there.
Powerful language. Yeah. So he was convicted of having persuaded 13 other peasants to castrate themselves. And yes, he was convicted of this and imprisoned, but he managed to escape the authorities. But then again, was apprehended in 1775 and exiled to Siberia. So, not the best thing to be advocating, castration. He was then later released in 1802, and for 18 years until 1820, he lived in St. Petersburg. So he lived in the city.
Oh.
In the house of one of his disciples. So, you know,
so
using biblical language.
Him, yeah,
exactly.
The whole, yeah.
So he received a double homage as Christ and the Tsar. So he identified himself as both Tsar Peter III and as Christ returned.
So yeah, at this point, you've got to, even if you believed him up to then, you've got to start having some warning bells, right?
You've got to be thinking what he's doing at the very least. Yeah. Is not healthy for those involved.
Yes.
Mm. Yes. Selivanov claimed the title of God of Gods and King of Kings, so very biblical language, and announced his accomplishment of the salvation of believers through castration. Selivanov succeeded in gaining followers even among the upper classes of St. Petersburg.
Why
so
not?
Even though he was a peasant, he managed to transcend classes and get people of all backgrounds and all backgrounds involved in his philosophy.
I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah.
He has a very nice voice.
Yeah, he must have been
incredibly persuasive. That's what you find among these people, though. You find that no matter really what their inclinations are in terms of their religious beliefs, they are so, so persuasive.
Yeah.
I think people want to feel part of something, right? People want to feel part of a movement, feel like they're witnessing something incredible, and what more incredible than returning of Christ? They see someone who they believe is charismatic and amazing, and they get duped into believing in their God.
The leaders are always charismatic, like.
Hmm.
Yeah,
because like Hitler had apparently had an amazing voice because of the mustard bomb attack or something. I think that was.
Was that part of it?
Yeah, okay. I think that was it.
Yeah, and, I didn't know that. All right,
yeah, so he just had an amazing voice, and people want to follow that amazing voice.
Yeah,
so it's always the case.
Of course, charismatic.
Always charismatic,
and someone who. Well, not necessarily the Messiah complex, but most definitely had a God complex.
Definitely, yeah.
And when people looked up to him, I mean, in a lot of the churches, they replaced crosses with pictures of Hitler and Nazi Nazi symbolism as well, didn't they? In a lot of the Nazi churches,
it really, really cannot help at all these people who have these complexes to be successful, right?
No,
because as soon as you get some followers, or as soon as you start, like in this case, go from peasant to hobnobbing with the rich and powerful in St. Petersburg, suddenly you're thinking, I must be the Messiah.
Exactly.
Because I wouldn't be here otherwise.
He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy. Yeah.
And then, there was an even better example of somebody who, you know, was just nothing but successful throughout his entire life once he'd started this movement until obviously the inevitable tragic end.
Yeah. Tragic
for everyone else. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah.
careful, right?
Yeah. Whoops.
So back to our lad. So the Governor General of St. Petersburg learned that two of his nephews were members of this sect, and he asked the government to intervene. June 1820, it was decided to once again arrest Selivanov and confine him to a monastery in Suzdal, where he remained until his death in 1832. Allegedly, he was 100 years old when he died. So the sect grew in the years after his death as well. And by the 1860s, there were supposedly almost 6,000 followers of the Scotsy movement.
Did they still all castrate themselves at that point?
Yeah. See, the thing is, not all of them castrated themselves. That was kind of... But they just believe that of this sexual repression and anti-sexualization.
Yeah. Already, it's like most other religions. Within a couple of years, it's like, we'll pick that good part, and we'll not do that part.
I mean, what's more crazy about this is that by the early 20th century, so some 40 years later, there were rumored to be around 100,000 members.
100,000?
Yeah.
God.
Wow. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
By the time the Soviet Union began to... the Soviet Union was in its peak. This kind of died down a little bit.
Yeah, because it completely destroyed religion, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So by the end of the 20th yeah. century. It doesn't really exist, although there were yeah. apparently people practicing it in Latvia in the late 1990s, just a handful of people. So, mm-hmm. you know, the legacy has definitely yeah. remained from mm. this bloke who was around in the 1700s.
Were they all men to stereotype?
No, they weren't. So the majority were, especially yeah. those who castrated themselves. But there was, what's the word? Mastectomy, what's it called?
Well, with the breast surgery.
Yeah,
mastectomy.
Yeah. But I think about 90% were men who actually performed these procedures and operations, but not exclusively men.
Wow.
But very interesting that kind of legacy yeah. carried on. So this is obviously a bad example of someone believing that they're Jesus.
Yes.
But I've got a more modern example. It doesn't have as many negative consequences to it.
Okay.
So this modern example is of the Messiah complex is that of Sergei Antoletvich Torop.
Is this another Russian?
Another Russian. I thought I'd stick with Russia.
Yeah.
Who was a Russian mystic who believes he was reborn in 1990 as the returned Christ. He is known by his apparent 50,000 followers. Bit debatable. It could be closer to about 5,000 or 10,000.
Yeah.
As Vissarion. Have you heard of Vissarion?
That rings a bell.
Mm.
Yeah.
You might recognize his face. So I'll give you a little bit of background on Vissarion. So Vissarion or
Victor. Rian.
Or Sergei. Vissarion or Sergei.
Sergei.
Okay.
Was born in 1961 in Krasnodar in Russia. So any football fans might have heard of Krasnodar. And he served in the Soviet army and then as a police officer until he lost his job in 1989.
Interesting. Why did he lose his job? Do we know?
We don't know. I think it doesn't actually say why. But I imagine that he was just probably just a little bit useless.
Bought too many cats.
yeah. Or was starting to go absolutely insane.
Bought too many cats.
Or bought too many cats, possibly.
Yeah.
Then conveniently, his rebirth happened in 1990.
It's funny how those two things coincide.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're thinking like, okay, has he had a bit of an episode here?
Yeah.
Which either caused him to lose his job or after he lost his job.
1990.
Yeah.
When was he born?
1961.
Okay, I kept him 1861. I was that is an old man.
How is he still working in 1989?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So then in 1994, he founded the Church of the Last Testament in a part of Siberia, about 300 miles from Mongolia.
Was it another apocalyptic cult?
Yes, they believe that there's going to be a great flood.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily the kind of the basis of their religion. It's not all based on that. So the settlement at Tega now consists of about 40 different villages that are all connected.
Ooh.
And life is lived simply with emphasis on living in harmony with nature, which is a good thing.
That sounds right.
Without the use of technology, which I'm sure quite a few people would agree with.
It's kind of and living, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And living as a community of brothers and sisters, to quote, with no smoking, drinking, or money exchanging hands.
Okay, I like them.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
I quite like drinking, but you know.
Hmm. So as I said, they do believe in a great flood that's coming, and they believe that the Church of the Last Testament will emerge from their promised land, which is what they call the area in Siberia, to repopulate the earth. So it's not a bad life. I mean, Vissarion does decide to live outside of the main village in a pretty big house. So,
really?
With about 50 of his closest followers.
Women and nubile.
That's the thing, yeah. I mean, I think a fair few of them are. Yeah. Not all of them, but it seems like a very, very isolated rural community where on the whole, people seem to be fairly happy with what's going on.
Yeah.
And the kind of the communal living, the kind of living in peace and harmony in with nature doesn't actually sound that bad. So my question is, given these two examples, and there are plenty of examples where it's gone wrong. You look at Jonestown. It was a very good example, the Jonestown Massacre with Reverend Jim Jones. Obviously, a very extreme bad example. But is this Messiah complex always bad? It's the first thing I'm going to ask. And secondly, what do you guys think of it?
Yeah.
Do you think that there's any kind of legitimization of it? Is it necessarily a bad thing to believe in this? I mean, obviously, if you've got schizophrenia, it kind of needs to be treated. Yeah. But if people are living peacefully in harmony and following who they want to follow, is it necessarily a bad thing?
I feel like with the Sergei, is it Sergei?
Yeah.
The second
dude.
Yeah. I feel like with that case,
Vissarion.
If the people in the community are given the option at a certain age to go out and just like
Rumspringa
with Amish people?
Where they can leave.
18, they go away for a year.
To experience city life.
Yeah, to experience the modern world. And if they come back, they're accepted back into the community. But if they're shunned if they... If there's something like that, then don't see a problem with them living in the country and being happy together.
Yeah. I mean,
But if it's the case of where they're just forced there.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that because it sounds like an idyllic life. But yeah, as long as they're not being coerced and compelled to remain.
I don't think they are. Yeah. And people come from all around the world to join this as well, supposedly. According to the website,
I feel like free will is
It seems like it. But one thing I would say about this is that formed in 1994, that's not that much time in terms of a... I mean, in terms of a cult, it's lasted actually quite a long time if you want to call it a cult.
Yeah.
But it means that people, even if they're having children in 94, their children would now be, what, mid-20s? There's probably not that much time to have lots of children who are around the age that they would kind of get to age 17, 18 and wonder what's in the outside world. So I don't know if there's been that kind of conflict yet. People growing up and deciding that it's not for them.
So it seems okay now, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But given a few years, it might become...
It might become more of an issue.
Internal strife kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe more questioning of, like, why does he get a big house?
Well, I think that's the thing. Like, from my perspective, and this is a general philosophy I have, and I hope you don't mind me talking about it, is that people should be free to do anything, provided it does not cause, to their knowledge, direct or indirect harm to others. So if... obviously, this is the great example of the direct harm is the castration. Even if they're willfully doing it, you are harming those people. Because, especially because it's an irreversible decision that they can't go back on. But in terms of this this second lot, Sergei and whatnot, like Chris said, as long as he's not forcing them to stay, as long as they have the choice to leave if they change their mind, and ideally leave and come back if they change their mind again, then absolutely, it sounds like they're having a great time. And just from a cynical kind of skeptical perspective as well, if you're going to start a cult, it's got to be about the end of the world.
And if you follow that, salvation, there's nothing that keeps people there more
it's got to be like, it's the end of the world, you stay with me, you'll survive it.
Yeah,
like, that's how you do it, because everyone's like, well, it's the promise of something to come. It's not like if you castrate yourself you're going to be fixed, and then you do it and you're like, I'm not fixed, I think I might leave I'm going to go.
Can I have a balls back?
Yeah. Sorry, no refunds. What do you guys think at home? Please send us a message to our email or on Twitter.
Also, please deliver tacos because I'm hungry.
Also deliver tacos.
Also deliver tacos. I'm at All Time Robin. Martin is
at All Time Martin. And Alex has ruined it by calling himself something random. He's not even here, so I'm not going to say
So, Chris, what's your Twitter handle?
At four tits and a wank. And by that, I mean it's at 101 facts 2.
Nice.
The number
101 facts 2. Nice.
So the number 1, the number 0, number 1. Facts is in the word.
F-A-C-T-S.
F-A-C-T-S, yes.
And then
not
then
F-A-X.
Number 2.
Nice. Great. So please, tweet us your thoughts.
Yes.
Or if you're watching this video on YouTube, comment below. I thought it was really, really interesting. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah. One of the points I did have down that I didn't mention was that after the fall of the Soviet Union, that religious oppression that was on, that was there with the Soviet Union dissipated, which meant that by 1994, people were primed to follow a new upcoming religion.
That's a very interesting point, yeah. To a certain extent, he is exploiting a void.
I mean, exactly. After the fall of the Soviet Union, there is this void where religious expression has not been able to be practiced for so many years, and then suddenly someone comes along claiming to be the Messiah returned, and people are like, okay, we can get on board with this.
So I've got a couple of comments from YouTube.
Very good.
First one is from Teresa Strong, who I think was, commenting on our last Codpast.
Thank you. That bring out the tick.
So first one's from Teresa Strong, who's commenting on our last podcast, which we were talking about the first potential space crime in space. And she says, I'd like to know, how do you all prepare for these podcasts? The conversation always flows so nicely. I love listening to these when I get ready in the mornings. Great work, guys. Keep it up.
I mean, I can't talk for these two, but I start off by sucking off 20 guys.
And thanks to you, Teresa, we always keep it up.
So yeah, before each episode, we kind of divvy out what we're going to be doing that week. So one of us will be looking at more of an old school legacy topic, and some will be looking at the news and the quiz. Mm. It's just about making sure that we choose something that we find interesting from that week, and then just doing enough research to be able to talk about it coherently.
That's pretty much it, really. That's pretty much it. And we like to surprise each other as well. So we'll, yeah, like Martin said, we'll divvy up the responsibilities. Like say, oh, Alex, you're on the quiz this week. And Martin will be like, I'll do the legacy this week.
Yeah.
And then I'll grab a piece of news and some comments, and then we'll just... Yeah, we'll just talk about it.
Yeah. I think we go with the flow a little bit too.
Yeah.
And then I come in and fuck it all up by screaming stuff.
Nah, you don't. You're very insightful. Like, so I have another comment from David, who I think was also commenting on last week's podcast. And he was saying, for your next In Plain Sight.
Yes.
So this is our series of going to locations, actually exploring the mysteries of those locations.
If you don't watch, you're missing out, because they're great.
Thank you. There'll be a link on the video. We've done two so far, and there's a third one on its way, and we'll do more. So David says, for your next In Plain Sight, how about a trip to the International Space Station to commit some new crimes?
The first crime was good enough.
Yes, David, you got it.
The first crime was okay, but it was kind of,
it was about anticlimactic,
logging into
it?
Someone's bank details isn't that great. I mean,
yeah,
it's a bit... We at least need to have some kind of brawl on the International Space Station. That'd be better.
Wouldn't it? Or like stab a valve, blow it up.
Drunk and disorderly on the ISS. That's what I think I'd go for.
But like, why are you taking up a six pack and a bottle of whiskey onto the ISS?
And what we could do, stir it up by stealing one of the Russian beers.
Oh, nice.
So the jurisdiction is kind of...
Are they allowed beer on the International Space Station?
I have no idea, actually.
Or you could...
Bring
up
priority taking up space.
What's it? Prison wine.
Oh yeah, prison. Make your own. Ferment your own.
Oh yeah. Like bring up some potatoes and make a.
Which I'm
the Russians.
That's what they do. Scotty Eisner commented on Chris's last appearance on our channel, which was just a couple of weeks ago. He says, "Chris is awesome. Love this podcast."
Yes, he is, and I'm always really pleased to have Chris on the show. Of course, I like having Alex on the show. Absolutely, we miss him when he's not here. And I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm
and sure we've had lots of great guests, but it's always great to have Chris on.
Thank you. Now, where are like the 90 comments saying like, this guy is turrets? I can't stop
turrets.
But whilst we're talking about Chris, how about we hear from Chris about your story? What was it? A boy went blind?
Yeah, it's interesting. A boy went in the UK, went blind from eating nothing. I think it's white bread, chips, crisps, and processed meat for 10 years.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's not a good diet.
The headline from the Telegraph, graph. Oh, for God's sake. Teenager first in UK to go deaf and blind due to junk food diet.
Deaf and blind.
Deaf and blind.
Oh, how does that happen?
Magic.
Okay.
Like, that's just dark the magic, deficiency of certain potatoes.
Okay.
Or too much potatoes.
Yeah.
So what did that's like, actually what it is. He ate a portion of chips and went blind.
For 10 years, he lived off a daily portion of chips, crisps, white bread, and processed meat.
Oh, yeah. That's not nutritious.
So there's nothing nutritional about that.
For 10
so
years.
Much salt.
Oh, man.
And it...
Three, over almost 4,000 days of chips in a row.
Oh, I get sick of chips after 3 days. Like, Jesus.
Yeah. So so what happened? Like, how did they find out that this was? I mean,
I'm guessing because he just went blind.
Yeah,
and it's like I can't see or hear.
Yeah,
so he went to the doctor. But
this was in the UK.
Yeah, in the UK. Yeah.
Okay,
wow.
Of course, it's in the UK.
Where was he? This is stereotyping, I know, but was he also obese? Because on a diet like that, you'd just pile on the pounds, wouldn't you?
It doesn't say.
Not necessarily.
But also not necessarily as well. No. I mean, not necessarily because metabolism has a huge factor and teenage boys have like massive metabolism.
That's true.
Yeah.
How old was he again?
17.
Oh, yeah,
so it happened for 10 years. He's been doing it since he was 7.
Gosh.
Man, that is pretty tragic. I mean, when I was growing up, one of my mum's best friends had a son who only ate pretty much like white bread and peanut butter and stuff. But then he was like... It was between the ages of about 5 and 9 or something.
Right. Okay.
I think that's very much changed since then. But still, like to be that deficient of certain nutrients, you imagine that he would have been advised to take any kind of supplements, right?
Yeah.
You'd think he obviously didn't.
Probably,
Wow. Okay.
Is it like it's like a full on deficient? Like you're getting barely enough protein from the meat, if any. I'd imagine there's no calcium in that diet.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
There just isn't. There might be a bit in white bread.
They're literally carbs.
Yeah, it's just literally carbs. Just carbs and salt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, I mean,
that much sugar. which isn't good either.
Because crisps contain sugar? It depends.
No, not really.
No.
Well, the white bread would contain some kind of sugar, but yeah, it would be slow release.
Enough. It would be like,
oh, actually quite quick release.
Would you go into hypoglycemic shock? Like, Jesus.
Maybe. Well, yeah. I mean, the first thing that strikes me about this is, whose responsibility is this? I mean, there's a responsibility of the individual, but then, of course, if this started when he was 7 years old, then it's the parents, or is it when he goes to school, then making sure that he's not just eating? Because surely if he goes to school that's every day point, and he's just eating bread and chips, someone will be like, okay, you've had this for 5 weeks now.
To a certain extent, I'm still a fussy eater. And when I was a kid, I was definitely a fussy eater. And I had a very limited diet. I think when I was at school, because we had a canteen, I used to go to the kitchen and I'd get a sausage roll, baked beans and chips. And that would be my...
You should be blind.
That would be my, my meal every day. But my parents were good at making sure I ate vegetables every evening.
Sure.
Maybe it was just peas or something. But like, this is when I was prepubescent. And then obviously as I got older, I got interested in other flavors, which are much nicer. So yeah, you're right. If he's going to school, the parents can't control what he's eating.
Yeah.
But then there must be like...
Yeah.
Not guidance counselor, but something similar to that. Teachers must have taken notice.
Would the parents, should the parents have told the teachers and said, look, we're concerned about our son's diet. Yeah, can you make sure he's eating?
Yeah.
I mean, my school, there was a definite change. I remember, you know, when like, I don't know if people from the US or US listeners and viewers know this, but Jamie Oliver, when he went around to the schools and he got a whole
the
load of certain
schools.
Things banned and he turkey twizzlers were off
I
the menu.
I remember that. And like loads of kids got really sad about it. But like the things that were banned had artificial colouring in, which I'm allergic to.
Okay,
so I was like, what's the problem?
Yeah, sure.
I see.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the high sugar, high salt stuff got banned. And like for kids, they're obviously like, oh, this is annoying. But the idea was that it would make the food healthier. You had to have a certain amount of fruit and veg. I remember at our school, if you had a portion of chips, you had to have something else with it. So people would get like a mountain of chips and have a fish finger on top of it and be like, yeah, done. but it was like, it was just one of those rules that they implemented to like try and get people to have a bit of a broader diet, which was after this. So it just seems like that hasn't really been implemented at all if he was just having that.
Well, there is a timeline of like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So it says in this, at age 14, he was first taken to his GP complaining of tiredness.
Right.
And he would be, wouldn't you?
And he was just labeled as a fussy eater, but took no medications as he was otherwise healthy.
Right, okay.
Okay.
A blood test revealed he was anemic due to a B12 deficiency, which caused fatigue.
Yes. Because normally, if I'm correct, you'd get that from meat, wouldn't you? Like real.
Or if you don't eat meat, but beans, pulses, anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Some percent veg.
Well, iron.
Iron, spinach. Yeah.
So, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Not...
There's plenty of things you can get it from that aren't meat if you didn't eat.
Just not eating,
Yeah, and age 15, his hearing began to deteriorate, followed by sight.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But despite having an MRI scan, no structural damage to his ears was detected.
Interesting.
After 2 years of progressive loss, his vision was measured to be 20/200, rendering him legally blind. Right.
Yeah. The thing is, with this, you've got to think at some stage he'd be forced to at least be taking some kind of supplement that would help.
Yeah, you'd think he would.
Yeah.
Like, sure, that's really, even from a personal point of view, I imagine that if I was 15, 16, I was losing my hearing and sight, I'd be like, okay, even if I was the fussiest eater in the world, I'd be like, I've got to do something about this because I don't want this to progress.
Yeah,
but say, at least tablets. Like,
Does it say anything about prescribing
it says
him supplements?
At 17, he was, the B12 injections he had been prescribed had lapsed.
Oh, so he just wasn't getting them done.
Yeah, and he also had low copper and vitamin D levels, as well as poor bone mineral density.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, man.
And then he was diagnosed with NON, which is nutritional optic neuropathy.
Neuropathy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which is more commonly seen in malnourished children in developing countries.
Yeah.
Purely dietary causes of NON are rare in the Western world, manifest in damage to the optic nerve, which leads to sight loss, and if undiagnosed, blindness. So,
so this must happen a lot then in certain countries where children aren't getting the right nutrients. Something you don't hear as much about in terms of blindness and deafness specifically. Right?
It's interesting as well because it makes me think again about the word itself, malnutrition and malnourishment. Because I think I'm typical of a Western first world person to think of malnourishment means, oh, they're starving, they're stick thin.
Yeah,
they're
not, skinny pot belly.
They're just getting a grain of rice a day kind of thing.
But actually...
He's eating a fairly good amount of food.
Just balanced.
Completely the wrong.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, where do you go from here? There's no reversal, I take it? Like, surely now, at the very least,
yeah,
you've got to like be thinking what damage will be done to your body if you don't even at least start taking something that's good for you.
Yeah, like because as he is now, he's just at the end of the age where his body can probably repair itself.
Oh,
probably.
Yeah,
because it's 17.
Yeah,
like you're just coming out of puberty.
So you say legally blind 2200.
Yeah.
So he's not completely blind. He's just got really bad issues. Yeah. Okay.
Man. So that does leave the door open, right? If he were to completely reverse his diet and his habits, he might get
but
some.
Yeah, but probably have to do a complete 180.
Yeah.
Yeah. And help. Yeah. It would help slightly, maybe. I don't know. Does it?
Man.
Seems like there's damage, permanent damage that has been done.
Do we know anything about the parents? Like, I'm struggling to imagine how the parents allowed this to get so bad.
I think I read something about the mother.
I can understand, like, if she's a single mum, or if he has two really hardworking parents, and maybe he's not an only child and they've got a whole bunch of kids to take care of, I can understand a situation where they let it lapse a bit and feel, they're like, hey, are you taking your vitamins? And he's like, yeah. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
I can understand that, maybe. Yeah.
Well,
but if it's just him as an only child and there's two parents around, then why are they not?
Well, the article just mentions a mother that doesn't want to be named.
Right.
But doesn't mention anything about her taking action. Like, she just says, he's devastated his life. His sight went downhill very fast to the point where he's now legally blind. He has no social life. After leaving school, he got into college to do a course in IT. He had to give it up because he could not see or hear anything. He would love a job, but he has not been able to find anything he can do. Wow. She had to quit her job in a pub and now look after him full time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pub work is some of the hardest work you can do in terms of shifts. And usually it's a 0-hour contract, isn't
it? And it's usually actually, if he's at school during the day,
yeah,
I mean, I'm making assumptions here, but if he's at school during the day, he can pretty much choose what he wants to eat at that age.
Yeah.
When he gets home, she may be doing an evening shift as you would do in a pub. Maybe she's not around during the day or
so
the evening.
So he's
choosing his own stuff. And I mean, I think you can be very, he's obviously got very unlucky as well, because he is not an isolated case in people having
a diet
that doesn't have any kind of nutrition in it. There must be thousands of people across the UK and even more across the US and the rest of the world who are really, really nutritionally deficient. It seems like he has got unlucky as well as it being just an amalgamation of things that have been bypassed.
I mean, what's scary is like that timeline you read out, like the speed at which he deteriorated.
Mm. Yeah.
I can imagine, I can sympathize to a certain extent, if even though they've identified at age 14, was it? They said his diet wasn't good enough. Even if he knows that, if you're like, you reach 15 a year later after being diagnosed and saying your diet's a problem and you're still okay.
Yeah.
Then you think, but if suddenly by 16 you're half deaf and half blind, then that's really shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it like 2 years?
Yeah. Really fast.
He might not necessarily realize why that was the case as well. Maybe it would have been tests and maybe.
Well, they said that they did an MRI scan and they didn't find anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't necessarily know that it was directly down to what he was eating, because as we've seen, this is news. It means there are not that many cases of it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be news, right? So what can be done to stop this from happening? Well, where does the responsibility lie? Is it with the individual or the parents or the government or schools? I mean, like, where does this lie so this doesn't happen to more people?
I mean, so...
Jamie Oliver.
Well, he's actually come out recently. Yeah. There was a bit of a kind of depressing article when he said that all the stuff he did with schools, people basically don't particularly want to listen or hear about it. So he's just going to go back to making TV shows and doing what he does best.
Yeah.
And not really bother to fight that fight because he just got so much abuse and stick for it.
Right.
Which is a shame because, I mean, even at the time, and even now, he kind of annoys me. But because I don't particularly like people always telling people what to do or have it being, you know, any high and mighty in any way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it did change a lot of attitudes and it did change government policy towards what children ate in schools, even though certain things were banned and it was annoying. Like, I imagine that school meals after that were a little bit better.
Yeah. I think with things like that, it shouldn't be about taking something away. It should be introducing a balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Add more greens in.
Yeah.
And then you can choose the chips, but also there's all the greens on there.
Yeah, because it's don't just take away the shit, because that's good for you psychologically, because it helps you feel better. And having sugar in your diet is good because that helps you process that. Having too much sugar is bad, but having a strict certain amount is fine.
Yeah.
And like we said before, like the kid was having sugar? We don't know. Yeah. Might have had hypoglycemic shocks. Like, we don't know that.
I think some kids were obviously like piling up their plate with like 10 turkey twizzlers a day and not eating anything else, and were in the position that this unfortunate boy was.
Yeah.
And that's the issue.
Yeah.
Maybe that needs to be policed then. If that's going to be a problem, and that needs to be policed by the canteen staff.
So, final verdict. Chris, who's responsible? Is the kid to blame or is society?
I think up until a point, because if it started when he was 7, it's the parents and the teachers and society's fault. But then probably after like 14, when he got that test and he was like, I've got fatigue, my eyesight's going, what's happening? What could it possibly be? Is it because I'm not eating enough nutrients? I think that point, it's his fault.
Now all responsibility maker. Yeah.
And now he's like impacted his mom's life.
Yeah, that's so true. She might become his carer, I imagine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And well, she is.
She's quit the job, hasn't she? Yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say that in this case, I had the feeling that he's become incredibly unlucky with being like the statistic of this happens to him. I think there's a general, definitely responsibility of all of us in society to become healthier in general. But it starts at home. The individual and parents, I mean, they've got to take some responsibility for that and to ensure that, you know, you're not in this situation where you're not getting any nutrients. Or if you're not and you realize it's a problem, then at the very least, you're asking for help. You're making sure that you're taking supplements to get that same.
Actually, with that in mind.
We say with a muffin on the table.
I keep looking at going like, we're talking about healthy eating.
Go for it.
Smash it back.
Right at the bottom of the article, it has a quote from Norm saying he was doing counseling for a bit.
Yeah,
and he started having fruit smoothies. Now he's gone off those. Okay. And it's like, that's the kid's fault.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, you're impacting your own health. Yeah. Like, I think I'd say 17 is old enough to have your own autonomy.
Yeah. Well,
you're criminally responsible at age 10, aren't you?
Is that right?
Yeah, I think if you can be convicted of murdering someone,
you can hold
10,
a knife.
You can definitely be blamed for your own diet at age 17.
You're technically a child, aren't you? Yeah. But
technically
let's be
a child,
let's be honest.
In the circumstances, she can't. Yeah, she wasn't able to physically be there to look after him. By the sound of things,
and for a lot of people, it's verging on a mental health issue with food, isn't it? Anxiety disorder that they can't eat food. Yeah. So I think it's too simplistic to be like, oh, he just doesn't want to eat it. There's obviously underlying issues. Massive issues there. But at the same time, it's like, if you can't do that, you've got to find another way of making sure you don't get blind.
With things like that, with eating disorders, hypnotherapy works.
I think that.
Yeah. Like we did a case study on it when I was studying psychology.
Yeah.
So with eating disorders, hypnosis and psychodynamic therapy does work quite well.
Interesting.
You can use CBT as well, but hypnosis is a bit more direct.
How does because I'm ignorant of hypnotherapy, how does that work exactly? So, because you can't hypnotize yourself every time you have a...
No, it's about altering a single behavior. I think it only has to be done like once or twice.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's done with addiction as well.
Is that effective?
Mm-hmm.
Once or twice and you can... Wow.
I think so.
Yeah. Mm. If you could be hypnotized.
Nicki Minaj?
That's the perfect answer.
That's the answer. That is the answer to it. Okay. And with that one, speaking of questions, let's move on to a quiz.
Super.
Thank you. That is the sound of Chris popping the lid on my cup.
Nice.
Pussy.
All right then, time for the weekly quiz. Chris, have you won the quiz last time?
No.
Okay.
I've never won the quiz.
Never won the quiz.
It's my fourth time.
Today is your time to shine.
Oh, you say that every time.
This quiz is about the life and times of Chris Burkle.
Exactly.
I'll forget everything.
Well, let's start with the buzzers. Martin, what is your buzzer? Pow, right in the kisser.
Family Guy version of the Honeymooners, I believe. That's from.
I recognize Family Guy. I didn't recognize Honeymooners. Mm. Chris, what's your buzzer?
It's just the best voice actor ever.
Nice. Great. What's it from?
It's Super Mario Strikers. It's Princess Daisy.
Strikers like football.
Yeah.
Okay, then. First question. As always, we'll have 10 questions and a bonus question if there's a tie.
Okay.
First question. Put your science hats on.
Oh.
PB is the chemical symbol for... that was Martin.
Lead.
Well done.
I was going to say phosphorus.
Well, I assume that's pH. I don't know.
Oh, PB.
PB, yeah.
Oh, I heard PH. Oh, right.
PB Plumbum.
Plumbum, right. That's correct.
Yeah.
Oh.
1-0 to Martin. Question number two. I think you'll know this one, Chris. The Titanic sank in 1912.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
What was the name of its sister ship that sank in 1916?
Victoria?
No.
No, it was the... This is bad, I can't remember this, isn't it?
Yeah, this is bad. I can't remember this. I just did this video.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right in the kisser. It was the Olympic.
The Olympic was one of its sister ships.
What, sister ships?
But they had another one, which sank in 1916.
Oh, another one that sank?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Sorry, I wasn't listening. Another one that sank. So,
any thoughts, Chris?
I didn't know it had another one that sank.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Not many people know this, but it's quite interesting.
Atlantic?
No, I think more along the lines of the country we're in.
Yeah! Britannica!
Close.
Britannia.
Oh, Britannic. Chris,
Britannic. Chris, very nice.
Yeah, well done. So, one all.
I didn't know that. I didn't know it had another one that sank.
Yeah, remarkable. And it's, can you guess the cause? Because it was 1916.
The cause, first of all.
Yeah, it's probably first, Britney Spears.
It wasn't Britney Spears. it hit a mine in the Aegean Sea. And it was the last of the three Olympic class ships.
Yep, I remember that fact, actually.
You just did a 1-1 on Titanic.
I remember it from World War One.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
Yeah. We're both great videos, though. Your video about World War One and Titanic.
I like World War One because it has a fact in it that is one sentence. It's five words in that fact. It was a dream.
World War
One
was very bad.
It was exactly that sentence.
Pretty much. Question number three, one all. What appeared off southern Iceland in November 1963?
Alien.
No.
Southern Iceland.
Off the coast of southern Iceland in November 1963.
I'm trying to think.
Something appeared.
Yeah.
Still there today.
Oh, is it?
What?
It's a volcanic island, isn't it?
Yes. Can you give me the name?
No. I remember the fact.
Martin, can you steal it?
1963, though.
Yeah.
I know what it looks like from Google Maps because I remember the fact.
If Martin can't get the name, you get the point. So
if I can't remember the name, you get the point.
Sorry, you'll get the point if you get the name.
But if you can't get the name...
Chris will get the point because he got it.
Okay, that's fine. I have the point.
Okay. Well, so 2-1 to Chris. It's Surtsey. The Isle of Surtsey.
Yeah.
What kind of island? Suddenly just erupted out of the water. Yeah. There's footage of it. It's amazing. Mm. A whole island just appeared.
Really impressive.
Like it's crazy. So 2-1 to Chris. Question number four. Keeping with the sea theme, how many feet make up a fathom?
That's the exact.
I'm closest to Winzaga.
Okay.
20.
Nope.
Okay.
So it's more than that.
I'm going to sit with my guns.
I'm going to go for...
Now that I remember the phrase. Ow, right
in the kisser. 30.
The correct answer is 6 feet.
Okay.
So Chris was closest. 3-1 to Chris. Question number five.
Six.
Can you tell me which bird, and it's a living bird, has the largest wingspan?
No.
Okay, admittedly that is
could it be an albatross?
It is the wandering albatross, which has, do you know the wingspan off the top of your head?
8 foot, isn't it?
Its wingspan can be as large as 12 feet.
Wow.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
Wanna know a little factoid about me?
Yeah.
I thought an albatross was a gun. I didn't know it was a bird.
Not a gun. It's wow. Okay, well, question number six. 3-2, I think, to Chris.
No!
In New Mexico, how many radio telescopes make up the Very Large Array?
No.
Martin, what's your guess?
15.
Martin is closer, so you get the point. It's 28.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, quite a few, actually.
Yeah.
Question number seven. Which sport was played by the notorious, I guess, Team Foxcatcher? Team Foxcatcher.
Fox hunting?
No.
Ice hockey?
No. Any other guesses? There was Notorious, a film made about it.
Notorious.
There's a film with Steve Carell and...
Okay. All right, Nikisha. Go for Chris.
Dodgeball?
No.
Baseball?
No. It is wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah. He was in a wrestling
team.
Film?
Okay, yeah, I guess you're part of a bigger team.
He was
team
in the film, yeah. Yeah, because
yeah, I was kind of stumped by that.
Yeah, it's a bit misleading, I guess.
No,
Question number 8, and the score is 3-3, I think.
Have you seen my father?
No.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, you have.
Actually, yeah, we met him the other day, didn't we? Yeah, I forgot about that. Okay. Question number 8, and it's 3-3.
Okay.
We all seen Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
You all like Indiana Jones. In fact, you just made a video about Indiana Jones,
Oh.
So
I'll get this wrong.
Can you tell me, how many Oscars did 1981's Raiders of the Lost Ark win?
4.
Correct.
Yes.
Spot on.
So remember that fact, because I had to cross out a big Oscar photo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did.
I was just like, I'm not going to delete them. I'm just going to put X's on them.
It was 4 and a Special Achievement Award. So technically 5, but 4 regular Oscars. And had another 4 nominations. Huge. Oh. Or 3 nominations. So question number 9, 4-3 to Chris. Historically, in US politics, what was the HUAC? What does it stand for?
HUAC.
HUAC, yeah.
Oh, God. The acronym is just HUAC.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
The House of Un-American Activities Committee.
Yeah, spot on. Oh. Nailed it. Yeah, the House Un-American Activities Committee.
For communists, find communists.
Exactly, yeah. Formed in 1938 to find communists, basbasically. Dissolved in 1975, and its duties were transferred to the House Judiciary Committee, which has a slightly broader scope. I think that's what, 4-all?
4-all.
Yeah, 4-all. Right, yeah. Ooh, final question, number 10. Which geometric area of the North Atlantic Ocean is also known as Hurricane Alley?
The Northwestern Passage?
No. Well, I can see what you're thinking, but no.
Which part of the... Sorry, can you repeat that?
Which geometric area of the North Atlantic Ocean is also known as Hurricane Alley?
The Bay of something or other.
Beirut.
No. I'll give you a clue. Big clue. Alex Brown is currently there.
Tahiti.
He's not in Tahiti. He's in Lanzarote.
Damn it!
Ah, that's the wrong answer.
That's where he is, though. That's not right.
Said at the beginning of the podcast.
Well, that's not helpful now, is it?
Oh. Bermuda Triangle.
He's in the Bermuda Triangle, yes.
That's really obvious.
So, yeah, which geometric area? Yeah, that was trying to give you a bit of a hint there.
I was going like, no, it can't be that. It's too obvious.
Too obvious, yeah.
My mind just went. I was thinking further north than that.
Yeah, because I said North Atlantic Ocean.
So I was thinking, I was just naturally thinking north.
It is confusing. I had the same thing.
North of where we are. So I was like, what? Where would that be?
Yeah, the North Atlantic is huge, still, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
I was so close.
Very close. But I'll come back at the end.
Do you want the bonus question anyway?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, okay. It's quite an interesting one. But it's quite challenging if you don't know your books.
Well, okay.
Let's not bother.
A lot
In Britain, which English author has been banned, and I'm quoting here, banned from more public libraries over the years than is the case with any other adult or children's author?
Hitler.
No, they're an English author.
Oh. What about?
Oh, you said that.
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling?
No.
Just thinking older because Harry Potter was got a few backs up, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. But actually, no, more banned than her.
Really?
Yeah.
Although I guess in libraries that wouldn't be banned.
Yeah.
Tolkien?
No.
It's gonna be old school controversial.
It's a woman.
Right?
It's a woman. And there's not even it's an interesting kind of controversy.
Could it be?
Yeah.
Stop talking. Was it who did Jane Eyre?
No.
Is Jane Eyre the author or the book? I can never
Jane Eyre's the book, and Emily, or is it Charlotte Bronte? I was getting confused.
I'm gonna say,
Emily's
say
Wuthering
Emily.
Heights.
I'm gonna say one of the Brontes. I don't know, I can't remember.
The answer is, should I give you the answer?
What does it begin with?
E.
Emily.
No. Her name begins with E.
I don't think I'm going to know.
She also created a famous children's doll character and a series of books about some kids and a dog.
Famous Five.
Eustace.
Who did the Famous Five? I can't remember who it is. Who is
it's
it?
Enid Blyton.
Enid Blyton.
Enid Blyton,
of course.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I've read that somewhere because it was denounced as racist, right?
Not even that.
Oh, okay. They just didn't like it.
Well, I mean, there was a bit of that. So it's hilarious, actually. It was Enid Blyton's books, children's writer, but they were banned in loads and loads of British libraries during her lifetime, during the success of her career.
Really?
Because they thought the writing was so excessively simple.
Yeah.
So too accessible for kids. It was bad for their education.
Oh, yeah. I see.
They also thought...
I can't believe after Famous Five didn't get Enid Blyton.
Yeah. They also thought her morality, the system of morality expounded in her books was overly simplistic, which I think might tie into the racism you're thinking of, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
But yeah, so Martin's the victor by 1 point. 5-3. It was close, Chris. Oh, it was close.
So close. I couldn't have been like, no, get the obvious answer. Say Bermuda Triangle.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed that. Thank you very much. And
no, thank you for writing it.
It's two fascinating discussion topics. Thank you both for coming in. And thank you, Chris, for being here.
Yeah. Let's have you back on at some point
in the near future. Back soon, yeah.
And bring my dad.
Yeah, why not? Bring him along.
Yeah, let's have a big chat with your dad. It's going to be great. Yeah. what do you guys think of our discussion topics this week? And how do you do in the quiz? Let us know in the comments or again,
tweet
us. Yeah,
did you do better than me? Best quiz I've ever done.
It's quite possible you did better than Chris.
Yeah. What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying. You didn't win. So. and stay tuned if you're a Patreon supporter for our exclusive Patreon podcast.
Absolutely.
Coming up very soon.
A link will be in the description and maybe even the comment section if you're lucky.
Oh, yes. We shall see you next time.
Bilingual sausages.
Absolutely. Bilingual sausages to you.